afternoon, everyone. It is Friday, August 5th. This is Spingola Speaks, and I am your host, Deanna Spingola, coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Inasmuch as I'm using the computer upstairs in my office today, if you wish to email a comment or question during the program, email it to spingola1@yahoo.com. That's spingola1, the numeral 1, as I do not regularly download my email on this computer. Following the program, just use my regular email, deanna@spingola.com. See my radio schedule page at spingola.com, and you may see the upcoming guest on the RBN homepage at republicbroadcasting.org. Guest information and the audio files are also in the RBN archives, which are only $1.33 per month. Please consider donating to the RBN pledge drive. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. I have two remarkable women with me today, Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming. Miss Thomas, first I want to wish you a belated happy birthday. As our listeners might know, you share a birthday, August 4th, with President Obama. In 2009, Obama actually sang happy birthday to you. I hope you had a wonderful day yesterday. I have four pages of notes regarding Ms. Thomas's accomplishments as a journalist, a former member of the White House Press Corps. Ms. Thomas has worked for the United Press and United Press International for 57 years. She was a columnist for the Hearst newspapers from 2000 to 2010. She covered every president from the last years of the Eisenhower administration until 2010. She was the first female officer of the National Press Club, the first female member and president of the White House Correspondents Association, and the first female member of the Gridiron Club. She has written 6 books. Her latest, with co-author Craig Crawford, is entitled, Listen Up, Mr. President, Everything You Always Wanted Your President to Know and Do. And that came out in 2009. But I think probably the most courageous thing that Ms. Thomas ever did occurred on May 27th, 2010. Rabbi David Nazanov of RabbiLive.com, following the American Jewish Heritage Celebration Day, asked Ms. Thomas about her views on Israel, the Jews, and Palestine. Ms. Thomas said, and I quote, tell them to get the hell out of Palestine. And we have Eileen Fleming. She is a citizen of Conscious for the House of Representatives 2012. She is the founder of WeAreAwake.org, a staff member of SalemNews.com, a feature correspondent for Arabisto.com, and a columnist for VeteransToday.com. She is a producer of 30 Minutes with Vanunu and 13 Minutes with Vanunu. She is the author of Keep Hope Alive and Memoirs of a Nice Irish American Girl's Life in Occupied Territory. And Beyond Nuclear, Mordecai Vanunu's Freedom of Speech Trial and My Life as a Muckraker, 2005 to 2010. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you, and I'm so, again, honored to be in the company of both of you. And hi again, Ms. Thomas, and again, that May 21st, the evening I got to spend with you, it remains one of the highlights of my life. So I just can't wait to get back and pick up that conversation where we left off. And thank you again, Deanna.
That's okay. So kind of you. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you, Helen. We do have to cut to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes, and then we'll visit. Stay tuned. And welcome back. Our guests today are Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming. Ms. Thomas, I cannot tell you how proud I am to have you on the program today. You are my hero.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, just you're too kind.
Well, when I watched you in that among those other people asking questions, I always knew that you would never be afraid to ask the really hard questions. And I cheered you on every time you did. And you never failed to disappoint, because you really ask the tough questions that everyone else lack the courage to ask.
Thank you.
So I know that you have said that you really had to censor yourself over the time that you were a journalist, and that particularly with the new administration, the Obama administration, you've made the comment that they are even more censored and have less transparency than any other administration that you ever worked with. Is that true?
I thought it was quite true. They did the pro forma. I expected real change in transparency, honesty, and candid presidents, but they all dance around looking
right.
for a word to avoid the real truth.
Right, right. And they all seem to say, serve the same masters over there in the Middle East.
That's right. That's true. And in the U.S., I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of pressure that's put on the our administrations. But when you have practically every member of Congress genuflecting, when Netanyahu stands up there for, I mean, I don't know how many times they bowed and scraped before him.
And that is just ridiculous. I mean, who else comes into Congress and gets that kind of a response?
No one.
No one. And, I mean, they're just a little dinky country, you know, stolen land in the Middle East, and yet everyone dances around. And you've suffered other repercussions as a result of your remarks on May 27th of last year, correct?
That's right. I mean, they have a lot of power, and they have a lot of pressure, and they put their money where their mouth is.
Right. But, I mean, they even went to your alma mater, and you were going to have, what were they going to do, have a statue of you?
No, I already have something in the Arab Museum.
Oh, okay.
Sculpture, but no, they took away basically my lifetime achievement award.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
They can't do that. I mean, you can't take away anyone's achievement.
No.
You can
no.
condemn them for what they are. But they wanted to take the worst of all, my First Amendment rights to speak freely. To
right.
speak and to write.
You know, Ms. Thomas, you have said that you do believe that our democracy can endure and prevail, but only if the American people are informed. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was that other day in infamy, June 8, 1967, when the LBJ administration failed to support the troops, the USS spy ship, the USS Liberty. What are your memories of that time, and what was the buzz going on at that time? Also, did you know anything about Matilde Krim, who was LBJ's friend? She's a blonde Italian and an Irgun operative. Was there any buzz like that going on at that time? Do you remember?
I don't remember any of that, but I know that we didn't really know all the facts when the Liberty was being bombed in bright daylight, unmistakable, flying an American flag in the bright sunlight. And, Johnson was about to run for re-election, so he wasn't about to antagonize the Israelis. It's unbelievable. You betray your own people. When the bombing started, a wounded sailor got to a phone. I think he was wounded, and got to SOS.
Yes.
There were many ships that nearby. I think it was the Sixth Fleet,
yes.
Maybe not. And they started moving toward to rescue, and they were called off.
Yes. The one of the first responses was from the Air Force, and when the pilot was called back, he thought it was because he was called back because he had nuclear weapons on the plane, But so they took off the nuclear weapons, and then they sent the jet back out again. It was called back again, and McNamara was heard to have said, LBJ, well, you know, this is getting it secondhand, of course, through the different Liberty books that have been written, but that LBJ was quoted as saying, I don't give a damn about a few sailors. You know,
that
I won't
is so
betray
horrible.
A
yeah.
friend.
That is really horrifying.
Yeah, so were you aware of that
betrayal.
At that point?
Well, I didn't know that, and I think that is, all I know is that it was a debacle, and it was a betrayal. And I know that Israel never, I don't think she ever apologized, and not that an apology could ever cover the deaths of so many people, and so unfairly, unwantonly.
Yes, that's right. And they did pay some reparations, but they did not, of course, admit to the guilt. And I'm going to bring this out because this was in one of the best books I got this from. I'll have to look at my footnote, tell you after who wrote it, but it was, it quoted H.R. Gross, a Republican representative from Iowa, in 1967. He said, is this government now directly or indirectly subsidizing Israel in the payment of full compensation for the lives that were destroyed, the suffering of the wounded, and the damage from this wanton act? Attack.
And that is a fact that the U.S. actually paid the reparations, and of course we've been paying ever since.
Yes,
no money can pay for a life.
Exactly.
No.
Well, exactly. And then he said he went on to say because by November, this attack happens in June. By November 67, Congress is willing to spend $6 million USA tax dollars to build schools in Israel. And Gross stands up again and says not $1 of U.S. credit or aid of any kind should go to Israel until there is a firm settlement with regard to this attack and full reparations have been made. And Israel provides full and complete reparations for the killing and wounding of more than 100 U.S. citizens. And it was wanton and unprovoked. And he went on to ask them.
But not likely to happen.
It didn't. It never. It didn't happen. But all of Congress will tell you, oh, they have had, an investigation, but it was a whitewashed job. And what the Liberty
Desk. Johnson was running for a re-election, and he could not bear the thought they might lose the Jewish vote.
Right, right. And
the
lady
vote.
That you talked about, Matilda Krim,
yeah.
Was at the White House that night. In fact, she stayed overnight. At the White House, and apparently their respective spouses were back in Texas, and she is the first person that he talked to about the start of the war.
Right, right. The morning of
the.
That's right. Yeah, and she's an Irgun operative, and I mean here and Ms. Thomas, do you remember? I'm sure you do. Paul Finley. And his passion, such as yours is, for the truth about this Israeli-Palestinian ongoing.
He's a wonderful friend and a very honest man who has suffered a lot, I'm sure.
Yes.
You don't take any stands for Arabs in this world and get away with it.
That's right. And he said that on June 8, 1967, the change occurred and the floodgates opened and money poured into Israel as never before. When President Johnson heard about the USS Liberty being attacked by Israel, he ordered the rescue fighter planes to return to the deck. The rescue mission was aborted, and the survivors have said they heard LBJ's voice tell Admiral Geis, get those planes back on deck. I don't care if the ship sinks. I will not embarrass Israel. LBJ, this is all the congressman speaking here. LBJ also threatened to court-martial anyone who reported what had happened, and Johnson accepted Israel's false claim of mistaken identity, and he knew it was a lie. And that is when the change began, and Israel learned they could get away with murdering USA soldiers. And is that your recollection, Ms. Thomas, of how of the change in U.S. policy? Were you noticing it there at that time? And
well,
on,
I thought that we knew something was very wrong. We knew that the Liberty was sailing in bright sunshine, the flags flying and so forth. And we knew that there was certainly a fiasco, something was wrong. But I didn't know the extent of the betrayal, frankly. I'm amazed that you're able to broadcast the things you're saying.
Oh, this is alternative radio, and we get to say a whole bunch of things that you never hear in the mainstream press or the mainstream media.
That is fantastic.
But not just us. Here's the book. It's James Scott, The Untold Story of Israel's Deadly 1967 Assault on a U.S. Spy Ship. That's the book that Americans should be reading, and they should be getting on their congresspeople about it. And I am a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives from Florida District 5, and if I make it, my first act of Congress is I want to invite all the USS Liberty survivors who want to speak on the congressional record to tell what they saw that day. What did they remember? What did they experience? Because it is true, and I've met some of them, and I interviewed Dr. Kiefer, the doctor on board.
They are hurting and unforgiving, right. And I don't blame them.
Ladies, we do have to cut to a 3-minute break. We will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Our guests today are Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming. And, you know, one of the survivors of USS Liberty, Phil Turney, has a program on this network. It's on Saturday. And he wrote a book, What I Saw That Day, Israel's June 8, 1967 Holocaust of U.S. Servicemen aboard the USS Liberty and its aftermath. And so his program is on Saturday at 6 p.m.
And I just want to add that Phil was the first Liberty survivor I met, and when he said it was God that kept us afloat, I knew I had to do more than just listen to this guy, and ever since then, that's going back to like October of 2007, I think, is when I met him, and ever since then, I just cannot get over how our media has failed to pursue this, and how our government has so colluded, and have so unsupported the troops. I think it's just horrendous. But you know, if we may, my computer just went black, but I would like to go back to when Ms. Thomas hit the third rail, and in her Playboy interview she said, everybody knows my feelings about the Palestinians have been shortchanged in every way. Sure, the Israelis have a right to exist, but where they were born, not to come and take someone else's home. I've had it up to here with the violations against the Palestinians. Why shouldn't I say it? And I said, yes, exactly. Why shouldn't you say it? And that's exactly what we need. But we've got a media that and a government that spins the settlements as neighborhoods, but they are, in fact, colonies. They are all illegal under international law. And Israel's very statehood was contingent upon upholding the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. America, as a member state, is obligated to hold all member states accountable, as the other 57 member states are.
Israel runs the UN.
I know, but
Israel ran the Versailles Treaty conference. But Israel runs
everything. But we the people have so much power, we are not using. It's been said that when the leaders of the world signed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, they never imagined the people would hold them accountable, but the people are holding them accountable. You've got all the Freedom Flotilla people being the conscience. And, you know, and we are struggling because we have had a media that has lacked a conscience, but yet there's little fires out there here and there. But I would like to talk about the fact, as Ms. Thomas did, about Israel's right to return when they, you know, to any Jew anywhere in the world with no historical connection to that land has this, you know, God-given right, to return. But yet, in the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 13 affirms everyone has the right to leave and to return to their homeland. But it doesn't work for Palestinians. What, Ms. Thomas, what has been your frustration, as Deanna points out? You know, we've got a UN that's limp, and we've made it limp. But we the people, we have power. What do we do?
Well, I think that we have to seek the truth and continue to try to defend it. It shows you that presidents have the right, or often can, betray their own people. First place, the Israelis came from somewhere else. And, you know, to take other people's land is just absolutely wrong. They would call different homes in Jerusalem and tell the people, if you don't leave in 24 hours, we're going to wipe out this house and your family. Everybody was fleeing, and the Israelis said nobody had to leave, which is a joke, of course. How did all these strangers wind up in Jerusalem and say, this is my home, or wind up in Tel Aviv and all of Israel? Truman recognized the state of Israel at 3 o'clock in the morning when they knocked on his door, May 15, 1948. I mean, totally, absolutely wrong.
Well, he got $2 million. He was on a campaign train, and he was short on money. And some Jewish gentleman got on the train and handed him a suitcase with $2 million in it.
48 was the time when he was running very valiantly for re-election.
Yeah.
For election, and, I should say.
But and, of course, they also bulldozed 500 villages, Palestinian villages.
No, they drove the people from their homes. They're still living in caves and tents. 60 years, driven from their homes. Some Palestinians have keys to the door. The woman will open the door and say, who are you? Go away. This is my house.
Wow.
I mean, how can they tolerate that?
How can we tolerate that is the thing. You're culpable.
If the American pro-Israeli people want to give their homes, their land, their water, give it. I have no objection, but you have no right to give what doesn't belong to you.
This is right, but this is our government, and we pay the government their salaries, and it's our right, it's our obligations, it's our duty as American citizens to hold this government accountable to their failures to do what they have signed on to do, such as the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and they are obligated to hold Israel accountable. So what can we do? Is that the music?
It is. We have to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes for a long stretch. Okay. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Today are Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming. Ms. Thomas, when you made those remarks, several people, including President Obama, went on the Today Show and said that your remarks were offensive and out of line and that your retirement was the right decision. And so, as Eileen was talking about, we should hold these people accountable.
I want to return the compliment to the president. I have a right of freedom of speech, whether he knows it or not.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and patriotism, some president, I can't remember who said it, I think maybe FDR said patriotism doesn't mean standing by the president, it means standing by, you know,
that's right. I don't owe anything to President Obama.
That's right.
I do to this country.
That's right. And here's another thing that because of our limp media, I learned this from an Israeli citizen and a volunteer with ICAD, Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. There's an advertisement that runs in the USA that reads, "Have a holiday home in Jerusalem." The ad does not mention this home is 100% illegal. There are 42 illegal settlements in the Muslim, Christian, and Armenian quarters of Jerusalem. The only green area for Palestinian children to play will soon have a high rise for the settlers, which will be 7 meters taller than the walls of the old city. The wall has been deemed illegal by the International Court of Justice back in 2005, but America continues to allow it to grow. The wall
and paid money.
Pay for it. Exactly, $2.5 million per mile in 2007 dollars. Yeah, and the wall is way over the green line, proving it is not about security, but about grabbing Palestinian land. Israel's
absolutely
hot. That is,
that's
absolutely
all they've
right.
done since they were created.
Yeah,
and I mean created.
Yeah, exactly. And the UN created it.
And Ms. Thomas, you mentioned that that the media is wholly owned by the Jewish interest, and
well,
you were very, very blatant about that. And you also have said that they own Hollywood, and just about, and the Congress, and the president.
Can I just interrupt 1 second? It's not the Jewish interest; it's Zionist interest. And
that's
and because,
right.
because
I
you
know
you,
many Jews are
right.
my friends.
They're
not pro-Israeli doing the wrong things that it's been doing.
And they're
truly shamed.
And we Christians, we should be, but we've got these Christian Zionists, and they're, you know, in the Bush administration, and they're still hanging out. And these are the people that we really need to be cognizant of and get out of the government.
I don't think it's a religious issue. I think it's political.
No, they use the religion. It's not. If they were doing what their faith said, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But they use it. And,
it's a terrible cliche to say some of my best friends are. And it's just ridiculous because I think anyone with real soul and heart knows what they've been doing is wrong. You just can't take what doesn't belong to you.
And yet they have a feeling, they've been told all their lives that land was promised to them.
Well, anybody can create their own God and create
true.
The mythology.
And they're very, very good at it. And in as much as they can produce the movies and indoctrinate the rest of us, even in the school system,
I think there's a
lot of Zionist influence.
International.
Well, that's what it was supposed to be from the beginning. It was
international city.
International
city for everyone. I don't want to monopolize this. I think my colleague here should also have a chance.
Oh, I'm butting in all the time, Helen.
we want to hear from you. You're so wise. I'm sorry.
Wise.
Can I call you Helen?
I'm persona non grata in this country.
No, that's not so, Ms.
That's
Thomas.
Not
that's
true.
Still not so, because everywhere I go, I always pull out my little photo of you and me, and I'm always talking about you, and all I do is meet people who just have nothing but the highest regard for you, and just on and on and on. No. I think it's the lack of conscience in the people. In the media, and that day that you stood up there, I guess it was your first and last official White House question, was it when you asked President Obama about nuclear weapons in the Middle East? Remember that day?
I sure do.
Yes.
How did he respond? I knew then it's impossible for even a president who talks about change to tell the truth.
How did he respond when you asked him who had nuclear weapons in the Middle East?
He said, I didn't want to speculate. I said, you don't have to speculate. That's the first thing you learn when you take office. Who has the weapons? Who's the enemy?
Oh, goodness. And somebody accused you of being anti-Semitic. I believe it was the Detroit Free Press. And how did you respond to that?
I had a profane word that I don't dare say on the air.
But you said...
It's a lot of BS.
Yeah.
I mean, it's created. I'm surprised that you're still operating. I mean, there is... did Abe Foxman, head of AIPAC, and Ari Fleischer ever hear about you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't exist, believe me.
Well, they attack us in other ways. They attack the music. I did have for about 20 days, I was using a song that is readily available on YouTube and has been for about 3 years. And I thought, oh, what a nice song. That would be really good bumper music. And so we used it for about 20 days, and then the network got a letter and a threat and, you know, the YouTube and
the... for the course.
Yes. And the ADL started collaborating in December of 2008. And so they went after us.
Of course,
is very unfortunate.
You're not right. There are no rights under their view. We have no rights.
Right. And it's a terrible thing. But we do talk. We tell the truth on this network, and we have a lot of hosts that talk about a lot of very interesting things. We talk a lot about World War II, the actual events during World War II. And I'm kind of an amateur historian and
there's no question that the Jews were persecuted, that Hitler went after them, and the Holocaust, there's no question there was a Holocaust. But other people died in the war, too. I mean, they're not the only ones who suffered brutally in every other way.
There were 70 million regular people who died during World War II, and yet we don't have any of the museums, we don't have anybody making movies about that. And it was actually in 1933, in the spring of 1933, that the organized Jewish community, the world Jewish community, boycotted all imports and every economic situation. They boycotted Germany. They told all their countries or all their companies worldwide to boycott anything that was made in Germany in order to destroy Germany. And this was actually their mentality beginning in 1897.
Well, you can't blame them for having the sense of revenge. I mean, what
sure.
they suffered.
But they went after Germany as early as 1897, right after the first Zionist conference.
You have to let bygones be bygones. Russia's a horrible. But everybody suffered in that war. Everybody,
sure.
every American practically, except those a true conscientious objector, was in that war and knew why they went to war.
Yeah.
Only war that really was understood.
But can you talk about tomorrow, in fact, is the 66th anniversary of the Hiroshima, and then that follows Nagasaki, and I'm feeling we're coming next up to music, so I'm hoping Ms. Thomas will can...
No, we have some time here.
Oh, okay, well,
this
maybe
is our
Ms.
long
Thomas
stretch.
Can talk about
but
her memories
that was
of...
Real, that was a real Holocaust right there, and the bombing, the Allied bombing of Germany.
We had a right to really warn the Japanese, and I don't think we did it enough. We should have. It's a horrible thing what happened. But on the other hand, I think that Truman truly felt that we would lose so many more lives.
That's always what I heard, that's what it was. But
that's the official version. The fact is that they...
As early as December, they wanted to surrender. Yes, and they just wanted to save face and maintain their emperor. Is that what you understand, Deanna? Because that's what I've been coming across.
They had a huge document that they submitted to the president, to Truman, and he just put it in the drawer because they had the Manhattan Project going on. They had these bombs that they were preparing. And even the editor of the Chicago Tribune understood that they surrendered as early as January of 1945. But they had these bombs.
That is unbelievable. How
and they history, wanted to use them.
History is so painful, and those decisions are incredible.
Right. Right. And one of the cities that they bombed was a Christian city.
Right, Nagasaki had the highest concentration
yes.
of Christians
anywhere in Japan.
Dresden
was wiped out practically. I mean,
right.
War is horrible. War is terrible, and we should get out of Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, every other place we're in. Get out.
Right.
Why
and then,
go
of
on
course,
killing and dying?
For nothing. For nothing.
I'm amazed at the courage of this program. It's incredible.
RBN is like that.
Well, congratulations for your courage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You said something about the bombing of Lebanon, where your parents came from. Let me find my notes. But they bombed, what year was that, 2008?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Mm-hmm.
And you were outraged, as
yes.
you should be, because there was no reason to bomb Lebanon. There's no reason to, there would be no reason to go into Iran. There's no reason to go
Zabran and the camp that they routed. I mean, it was unbelievable what Sharon did.
He was a murderer.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the U.S. stood by.
Right. I think they also had something to do with the assassination of President Kennedy.
I don't know. I don't think we've ever really found out the truth of that assassination. I do believe Lee Harvey Oswald did it.
Or somebody, though.
Well, he was sure a patsy.
Yeah.
You know, they always blame somebody else. And getting back to the war and the attack on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967, what they really wanted to do was blame another country for doing it just to get the United States into the war.
Lots of luck.
Yeah. And the other thing that that the surveillance on the USS Liberty picked up was that the Israeli soldiers had a huge group of maybe as many as 100 prisoners of war, and they really didn't want to have to deal with them, so they just stood them up against a wall and shot them all. And the USS Liberty, with their surveillance equipment, knew what they had done.
Well, you know what, the Liberty, one of the guys who was one of the radio guys that I interviewed, he said that, you know, they were just there picking up anything that was out there, any information. They were not targeting Israel, looking for any information. They were just picking up anything that was out there. They were capturing it.
It was an intelligence ship.
Yeah, it was a spy ship, and there was no doubt about it because it had all these wild satellites, and Israel took them out. They targeted them. They destroyed them. Those were the first things that they took out, and it was miraculous the way that the SOS got out, because one of the guys had to climb up, and it was one of the antennas who had never really worked that well. I think it was Dave Lewis that told me this story, and it had never really worked that well, so they didn't even bother with it. So it wasn't even on at the time of the attack, and then one of the guys went out there during the attack, and he got it connected somehow, and that's how the SOS did go out. And then, you know, the plane goes out, and then it's called back, and, you know, and then the Sixth Fleet was right, I think, something like, you know, 40 minutes away or something. But what is this? And I don't know what it is, but from my readings, it is that there's all this misplaced guilt over the Holocaust that the Jewish people suffered, you know, because good people did nothing for far too long. And now we've got good people doing nothing for far too long about what's been going on, really since 1947-48, when civilized men carved up the so-called Holy Land and partitioned it into what has now become Bantustan. These are disconnected enclaves. There's no way to make a viable, self-sufficient Palestinian state out of that. So, and yet we've got this occupied Congress that rises up 29 times, I think, during Netanyahu's speech, and
practically bit on the president.
Oh, I know, exactly, and that's what they were praising. And now we're coming off of this dysfunctional Congress with this this debt ceiling and this our deficit, and nobody's talking about. You know, we've got I don't got the facts, the figures in front of me, but it's something like $185 billion for our nuclear weapons program that Obama, with his life expectancy, they're retooling our nuclear weapons, and there's no mention of this. They're talking about, you know, where they're going to have to cut the super Congress now, these 12 select whatever that are going to supposedly, you know, trim the rest of this deficit, and they got to come up with more cuts, but nobody's talking. They're talking
Let
Medicare.
Let people starve.
Yeah. They're talking Social Security, Medicare, veterans, but nobody's talking about nuclear weapons. Just cut that right there, man. We'd have plenty of money to take care of it. But it's up to us, we the people.
And nobody dares to use them again. It's a sublime irony of mutual destruction.
Yeah,
enough countries have them to destroy us, too.
Exactly. There's enough weapons to destroy everything over and over and over again. So what do we, people of conscience, I mean, how much more, what do we need to do? I say we need to take back the House, first of all, and I think we can do it because, I knew the music
was
going to get
me. Okay, we will be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned with our guests today, Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming. Welcome back. Our guests today are Helen Thomas and Eileen Fleming, and we will take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443. Ms. Thomas mentioned the Social Security, and, you know, Obama said that, you know, perhaps those Social Security checks wouldn't be mailed out, and yet he failed to say anything about his own check for $33,333. He failed to say anything about the vice president's check, $19,225. And these are monthly checks. Congress gets $14,500. The czars get $14,350. Some of them only receive $13,208 a month. Cabinet members make $15,941. Deputy secretaries make $14,350. Undersecretaries make $13,208. Their assistant secretaries, general counsels, and heads of minor departments make $12,416 a month. Board members, commissioners, and others make $11,633 per month. The Supreme Court will get their $17,000 check each month. The U.S. Appeals Court and appeals judges for the armed forces get a monthly check of $14,591. The U.S. District Court, Claims Courts, International Trade Court, and U.S. Tax Court judges get $13,766 a month. Judges, bankruptcy, and magistrate judges get $12,665. Washington's TSA bureaucrats make $8,750 a month. And then you have Social Security checks with a national average of $1,079. And so who's the government going to go after? No, not themselves. No, they're going to go after the people that need the money the most.
That's
right. Well, you probably know what I'm thinking. Isn't that something?
And that we have a certain unalienable rights. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among people, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. This is our Declaration of Independence. This is what our founding fathers gave us. This is our right. This is our obligation. This is our duty. And all the founding fathers require to enter into the U.S. House of Congress is be 25 years of age, have been an American citizen for 7 years on your inauguration, and live in the state which your district resides. We have all these sharp pages, interns, all these young people who have been working there in Congress for these last few years. They can run themselves against the fat cats that are making these bucks and who are, we see it so plainly these last couple of weeks, this absolutely ludicrous scene going on with the Tea Party and the Senate and the back and the forth and the bickering and the biting and the,
it's all phony. They're talking about the people.
There was no word. Nobody's talking about what's for we the people there. It's all about the industrial military security surveillance complex. This is what's being fed. It's the same old, but it's up to we the people to take back the House, and we can do it. This is a big part of the reason I am now changing careers from a muckraker into, I'm not a politician, I'm a candidate, because I'm trying to raise the point that we the people can do this, but we gotta quit whining and bashing and go and put ourselves out there. Get ourselves as a write-in candidate on the ballot. Every state has different rules and laws, but there's enough people, sharp people, that are right now working in Congress. All these young pages and interns, they can run themselves. Of course, that may be the end of their career as a Democrat or Republican, but isn't it about time? Because neither party is representative of the people. Or am I wrong here?
No, I think you're pretty right. Okay, we do have to take a one-minute top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors, and we will take calls.